Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. I love that song. I requested it to be my theme song. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. Well, today I feel like I'm somebody out here telling somebody that God can save you, God can help you, God can deliver you, God can lift you, God can inspire you, God can love you, because God is love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify, magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Your goodness is beyond measure, Father God. Your tender mercy, Father God, is beyond what we can even comprehend. Father, that your forgiveness and your patience with us, Father God, is beyond what we can even hope to in our mind, Father, or in our heart. Because, Father God, you are loving God, a giving God, understanding God, a patient God. And that celebration in itself, Father God, yes, we got to tell everybody that you can save anybody, Father God, because you saved old wretch like me. And I thank you, Father God, for my salvation. I thank you that you're giving me life and you're showing me your salvation. And I pray this right now, everyone under the sound of my voice, that their hearts will be open, Father God. Their mind will be ready to receive, Father God, your word, Father God, that is transforming, Father God. It has the power to be the difference that makes a difference in our lives. Father God, I thank you right now, Father God, that you just bless the people, Father, that you bless them coming in and bless them going out. Bless them, Father God, in the city and in the field. Bless them in their homes. Bless them at their jobs. Bless them in their car. Protect them, Father God, in a mighty way that only you can do, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I glorify your name, Father God, for this truly is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for always being there. Lord, there's no greater God than you. Thank you, Father God. As I begin to deliver the word, Father God, that you have part of my spirit, I ask you that I, David, decrease, and the Holy Spirit will rise big in me and bring all things to my remembrance, Father God, that I may be able to share the good news, Father God, the good news, the transforming news that gives us, Father God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that gives us that unspeakable joy. Oh, I praise you, Father God, and I glorify your name in Jesus' holy, majestic name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited and I'm pumped up. Today's quote is, if you can't fly, then run. And if you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward, Martin Luther King Jr. See, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort and convenience. Oh, no. But where he stands at the time of challenges and controversy, Martin Luther King. And the scripture tells us in Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And then it tells us in Matthew 7:24-27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the flood came, hallelujah, and the wind blew and beat that house. But he didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who heard these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the flood came, the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And Jeremiah 17:8 says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. And it does not fear when the heat comes. Oh, no. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the years of drought and never fails to bear good fruit. See, what type of item will you put in your house to make it a home which the Holy Spirit would like to live in? Well, here's food for thought, my friend. The fruits of the Spirit. And it's love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. This will make it a home for the Holy Spirit. But now we're bearing good fruit. So let's go right into the show. When I was a kid, I used to watch this show called Dobie Gillis. This goes way back. And there was a character, you probably know the character more by the name of Gilligan, but his name is Bob Denver. But he had this role, which was known as Mina G. Craft. And every day, Dobie, who was the primary, would post this replica of the rodent sculpture known as the Thinker. I love it, especially when I got to see it, because it's in Philadelphia on the Benaki statue. But what drew attention to Mater G. Crab was that he was beat him, as they called him back then, but he was outdated by construction sites. You know, why were these all standing around these he said, it reminds me how things develop. First, it starts with a foundation, and then he proceeds to go on talk about the planning, the development, the construction, the destruction, due to the trials and errors of until completion. And he said it's kind of like our lives. Now, I'm kind of bringing this back from memory, so I'm paraphrasing the words, but what he said was true. Our lives are like a construction project. Based on a foundation that we build upon, we plan, we develop, we construct, we destruct the areas of life to produce the final outcome. And if we are wise, we follow what the scripture mentioned above, so we can move toward becoming what God intended us to be. This leads me into a story. There was an elderly carpenter who was ready to retire. He told his employer contractor he had planned to leave the housing business and to live a leisurely life with his wife and enjoy his extended family. He would miss the paychecks each week, but he figured he'd rather retire, and he figured they'd get by. The contractor was sorry to see the good worker go, and he asked him, hey, could you do me one last personal favor? And the carpenter said, sure. But over time, he said, well, I would like for you to build me one more house. Well, went to build the house, and over time, they noticed that his heart wasn't in it, not like it used to be. He resorted to inferior workmanship and used second-rate material. And it was unfortunate that his great career had ended with such a sorry ending. But when the carpenter finished his work, his employer came to inspect the house. Then he handed him the front door key to the carpenter. He said, this is our gift to you for all your service. The carpenter was shocked. Now, what a shame. If he had only known that he was building his own house, he would have probably done it much different. So it is with us. We build our lives day at a time, often putting less of our best into the building. Then we're shocked when the waves of life come, because we realize we have this house that we built. And if we could do it over, I believe we would do it like the carpenter, much different. So we can't go back. For you see, you are the carpenter, and every day you hammer a nail, place a board, and you erect a wall. Someone once said life is a do-it-yourself project. Your attitude and your choices you make today will help build your house in tomorrow. So therefore, build wisely. So let's go right into our series. I had to take a pause last week. I'm going to jump right back into it. It's knowing who you are in Christ Jesus through the promise, through his promise. Throughout the series, we had discussed various aspects of getting to know who we are in Christ through his promises. We laid a foundation that we basically see ourselves through the definition and the meaning of others from others that they give to us. We examine various individuals and their walk in life. These individuals range from Adam, Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Joseph. We even cover some civilians. Let me back up here. I think of the military. We cover some individuals in a more modern day time frame, which is Rose, who was an 87-year-old young college student. So we even cover Helen Keller and Sullivan, who took seemingly a disability to another level in order to display her real ability. Now, each person either trusted Satan's report, or they trusted God's report, or who he was, who they were meant to be. Thus, allowing another person to give definition meaning basically had a reflection that they saw in the mirror of who they were, or who they would become. Well, either they flourish or they perish. However, the question I proposed was, how does God define us for his purpose in order to carry out his will? We learn that when God's definition of who we are is taken as true, God will begin to give us instructions and provision to fulfill his purpose, will, and plan for our lives. We know now that God's plan is for us to prosper and not to cause harm. God is for us to have hope for the future, which Jeremiah 29 tells us, for this life and the life to come. Sometimes we entertain prosperity just here, but the truest prosperity, because this is temporal. If you live to be 50 years old, you get to live to see 18,250 days. But that's a drop in the bucket. If you double that, you know, obviously that'd be 36,000 someday. But that's a drop in the bucket to eternity. So the real prosperity treasures up in heaven. But how, while we walk in this life, we should understand how to walk in the light. Truly, we should know who we are, for when we are in the darkness, we couldn't see ourselves. But when we came into the light, we gained a clear vision of the direction we should be moving towards. Understanding who we are requires us to stop seeing ourselves as a body that has a soul and a spirit. Oh, no. We are the spirit housed in a body with a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion. We noted that having the entity in this correct order, we would better understand who we are meant to be. We also discussed that the body operates out of the five senses, which we all know we learn with kids, touch, smell, hearing, sight, and taste. These were pretty self-evident. But what we left off was the word, we tried to distinguish the words of soul and spirit. We looked off the Bible. And each time we know that it's presented in multiple times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, the Hebrew word translates soul means breathing creature, one in which life is presented, whether physical life or mental life. The Greek word in the New Testament is similar. In its most basic sense, the word soul means life, either physical or eternal. Hallelujah. Jesus asked, "What it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?" Referring to the eternal life, as I said earlier, this is a drop in the bucket. This life is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Both Old and New Testament reiterate that we are to love God completely with the whole soul, which refers to everything in us that makes us alive. Deuteronomy 6:4-5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Where the word soul is used, it refers to the whole person, whether physically alive or in afterlife. Now, the word spirit is used to denote something different in Scripture. Although the Hebrew and the Greek word translation of spirit also has the concept of breath or wind at its root, we understand the difference by looking at the context of the verse that refers to the spirit of the man. Unlike the soul, which is alive both physically and eternally, the spirit can either be alive, as in the case of believers, 1 Peter 3:8 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He put to death the body, but made alive in the spirit." Or, as the word would say, it could be dead as an unbeliever, as in Colossians 2:13 says, "When you were dead in your sin and in uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of our sins." Hallelujah. But let me just bring this here. Based from 1 Corinthians 2:14, based on the spiritual part of us as believers in Christ Jesus, he says that what we have received is not spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, he wants us to know this, and he said, "When all things get understanding." See, too long people have been walking around, they want to be right, and they want to prove you wrong. But see, that's personal. That's not even in line with God's word about love, because love is not self-seeking. Yeah, there are some reasonable ideals of the word right and wrong. I won't denounce it totally. But really, my right might be your wrong, and your wrong might be my right. But if we seek an understanding, we will get the truth. And that's what we want. We want the truth. So the word tells us this and all things that we should seek out. So then he goes on to say, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, that's what right and wrong come into play, but in the word taught by the Spirit, explaining the spiritual reality with the Spirit taught words. The person without spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Oh, no. See, when we didn't know God, and again, this knowing is an ongoing process, because like any intimate relationship, it will evolve. And as it evolves, we have to take time, quality time, to get to know. But as it evolves and it grows, you begin to develop this bond. But those who don't have this connection, they consider it foolish and cannot, check this word out, cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Did I say earlier that we are a spirit housed in the body with the mind, will, and emotion? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the Spirit is that part of us that empowered by God to know and worship him, the part of humanity that connects with God, who himself is spirit. See, John 4:24 tells us God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. What did I say about that truth? We got to get the truth, because see, this is what happens when you get truth. It sets you free. Well, the two words are often used interchangeably. The primary distinction between soul, spirit, and man is that the soul is the breathing force that gives possession, stir up our senses, desire, affection, and motive. So God looks at the heart motive, which moves us to take on life with courage to transform our will. That's what we're looking for here. To transform our will to line up with God, our mind be renewed by renewing of the and emotion through the Spirit. For you see, the Spirit is a part of us that connect or refuse to connect to God. Our spirit relates to his spirit, either accepting his encouragement and conviction, therefore proving that we belong to him. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Or, resisting him and proving that we do not have a spiritual life. Acts 7:51 said, "You stiff-necked people, your heart and your ears are uncircumcised. You are like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." It's wake-up time, people. We got to stop resisting the Holy Spirit. We got to stop having it. That neck swivels. It's got to be able to move. It got to be flexible. Sometimes we become so rigid, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we get that stiff neck, and we don't want to hear to the Holy Spirit. But we know that the Holy Spirit is what Jesus followed through his whole ministry. He allowed the Spirit to regulate, dictate, and control who he was to achieve the primary assignment that he was given, which is in line with God's will. So I don't want to belabor the point. I want to go right into some serious things here about how we can become what God intended us to be through us. See, we all know that through his promises, we can be overcomers in this life. And I am thoroughly convinced and persuaded that if we follow God, we're on the right path towards lining up with what God intended for us to be in order to fulfill our assignment. See, Numbers 23:19 confirms it. God is not a man that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Mm-mm. See, John 14:6 says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Back to that truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to go through Christ to get to the Father, but that is a spirit. See, too long people have been saying, "I'm body, mind, and soul," and the end result is the body is where the spirit is housed. And as I asked the question earlier, how do you make that house the home for the Holy Spirit to want to live? See, we want to move to what God wants us to be. Therefore, since God doesn't lie and he doesn't speak and not act and he does not promise that which he's not fulfilled, he is the way that we should go in this life, and because it lines with his truth, not our truth. Then I would suggest we follow God's instructions through his promises to truly know who we are, what we are to become, and what we are to do while we are on this journey until Jesus returns to come get us. Hallelujah. And then we noted that there were four men who did something to ensure that they would know who they were, know who they were to become, and what their God-given purpose was in this life in order to fulfill God's will. Now, that's a beautiful thing. A lot of people I talk to say, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." No, we're not even talking on the level of Christianity. We're just talking about this everyday run-of-the-mill life. Many people are walking aimlessly. Zig Ziglar said it best. He said, "Many people are wanting generalities instead of being meaningful specific." They don't know where they want to go. They don't know who they are. And this is how we get distracted. This is because Satan knows that if a man is confused, I can lead him anywhere because he don't know where he's going. So we have to make sure that we align ourselves with God's word in order to be able to be truly become what he intended to be, because he will direct our path. So the first thing we want to consider, when these individuals, and those individuals was Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus himself, they were willing to get to know God in order to know his will and purpose for their lives. As I mentioned before many times, we are so preoccupied with our own will, we lose sight of God's will. Wake up call. We need to align ourselves. Jesus understood this. He said, "Be not my will, but if your will," he asked the question, he said, "If this cup could pass, let it pass, but if be thy will, let your will be done." He wanted to follow God's will. And even when he was a young pup, he said, "Don't you know I'm about my father's business?" He said that to his parents. See, he knew his purpose. And when Noah was building the ark and people that seemingly were laughing and joking and teasing and what have you, he knew his purpose. And when Abraham was told to leave his family and everyone, he didn't have a clear picture, but he knew his purpose was to follow God's will. You see, we all have a part in this. By us being free agents with the spirit, soul, and body, we can make decisions to serve. Joshua said it best in 24:14-15. It seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can see Abraham, Moses, and Noah saying this, and obviously Jesus. For me and my house, I know who I'm going to serve. And therefore, there's the question. I asked not a couple weeks ago, it should be basically a no-brainer. For with this relevant information, these questions now should be answered quickly and clearly without hesitation. Yes, I have decided that I really want to know who I am in Christ. And yes, I am willing to be transformed in order to get to know the man and woman God intended me to be. And yes, I am willing to do what it takes to have the correct identity in Christ of God's promises. Yes, yes, yes. I know the whiners asked that question. The question is, and he went on to end it by saying, yes, yes, yes. See, he had asked the question early. Will I do your will? But when he got to the back end, he said, yes, and yes, and yes. Being able to define ourselves in order to know who we are in Christ through his promise requires us to be willing to redefine ourselves for what the world has taught us, conditioned us, and programmed us, or how we see ourselves in the darkness of the world. We must also decide and be willing to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, there was a movie called Transformer, and it had these lyrics that Transformer, more than meets the eye. And that was correct. Our transformation is more than what we can see with our eyes, just like a caterpillar in the cocoon. You can't see its transformation with the naked eye, but when it comes out, it's transformed to a beautiful butterfly. This transformation of redefining ourselves through the promise of Christ takes place. It takes place with us making sure that we want to be transformed. Too many times we talk about being transformed, but when it's time to step up to the plate, we hesitate. You know, I was listening to someone the other day, and they were talking about, you know, we need to share with one another our challenges in life, our sins, and what have you, so people can identify with us. As I'm listening to the individual talk, I'm thinking to myself, now, I've been knowing you 7 years, and I ain't never heard you confess nothing. I never heard you say nothing. See, the outward judgment of people. But as I said the other day when we were in Bible Sunday school, I said, Jesus never made a address about a category. When the woman was called the tree, he never even addressed that word. He said, if you be without sin, you go first stone. But we talk about things that we want to do, but when it's time to do it, we hesitate. But we do it temporarily. One of my prayers lately has been, God, I want continuity in my life. I want discipline in my life. I want focus in my life. I want to have that laser focus on you. Because as I said in my writing the other day, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know it takes time to be transformed. Even when you watch the transformation in that movie of the robot becoming a car, it takes X amount of minutes or seconds to fully be transformed. Well, if we look through the development of our lives from child from birth on, it takes time to be transformed. So therefore, we must let patience have its perfect work. Jesus didn't transform to become and fulfill his mission in 30 seconds. He took 30 years. Peter did not become Peter before he was Simon. It took him some years to be transformed. Saul did not become Paul because it happened in milliseconds. No, it took time to be transformed. So we have to let patience have its perfect work. So let's talk about some of the steps that I put together to make this transformation. The first step is we must know that we are children of God. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 6:18 said, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be a son and a daughter to me, said Lord Almighty. And in Romans 8:14 it says, for all who being led by the Spirit of God, these are my sons. These are the sons of God. You see, we have to be led by the Spirit. Again, not by the body, but led by the Spirit. See, our primary objective should be that we, now when we become saved, our spirit has been transformed. But we have to work on that mind, will, emotion, so the body will follow. So the body will follow. The body will follow. Because that's what gets us in trouble. Why did it get us in trouble? Because the body comes from clay. It's dirty. And he said in the word that it's all filthy rags. Sin is all filthy rags. So we got to get that mind, will, and emotion to be transformed. And therefore, it says in Galatians 4:7, therefore you are no longer slaves. See, we have to stop being a slave. I used to say when I was a kid, I believe I was 13, 14, and I was learning about history, and they talked about slavery. And as I looked around at the people, I noticed something, including myself, that it wasn't about shackles on my legs. And my buddy wrote a poem, one of the words from the VA, and he says, loose these old dusty chains. We still carrying around these old dusty chains. And where are we carrying them out? In our mind. But the word tells us in big time, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then an heir through God. Now we are heir. It's like Prince Harry is the heir to the throne. To the throne. He's part of royalty now. But we walk around, as my buddy said, with these old dusty chains. We carrying our problems. We carrying our history. We just carrying these chains around. And it's coming up Christmas time, and I think one of the ghosts was carrying chains around. And I think it's called Scrooge. That Christmas movie. Just carrying them chains around. We got to let them go because we ain't slaves no more. And having this understanding should be a game changer, because we know now that if we apply our faith in Jesus and be led by the Spirit of God, we are no longer slaves to our flesh. We are heirs with God. And step two, we must acknowledge that we are God's temple. See, so many times we're walking around entertaining this external, we should be looking at the internal. And as I said, what you going to put in your house to make it a home? You know, many people have nice, fancy houses on the outside. When they go in, they look pretty shabby on the inside. I ain't putting nobody down, but if you don't put the investment in to make everything tidy and clean, it's going to look pretty shabby. But see, we don't preoccupy with the outside, but we need to make sure we take care of the inside. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 3:16, say, do you not know that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. I don't think he want to hang out in a shabby environment. So we got to work on that. And like I said, even like cleaning the house, it takes time. You got to clean up your house. You get in there and sweep around it a little bit. You got to dust a little bit. You got to fold some old stuff out. George Carlin, when I was listening to a lot of the comedians back in the day, he had a joke, talks about stuff. He said, you know, you at home, you got your stuff, and then you go visit your friend, and they got their stuff, and you take some stuff with you. Then you leave that place, and then y'all go over to the club, and y'all taking some stuff over there. Then you leave that place, and you go to somebody else's house, and you notice they got their stuff. We just carrying stuff around. Well, you know, you just got a whole bunch of stuff. And my grandma always tell me, baby, don't buy a whole bunch of clothes, because at the end you got a whole bunch of clothes and they ain't got nothing. Only to you. So we got to learn how to let go. Then the third step is we must accept God has given us divine power. That's power right there. That is a powerful statement. He didn't give us some kind of power or little power or mediocre power. He gave us divine power, spiritual power. Again, going back to we are spirit. So the word tells us in 2 Peter 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Knowledge. See, Isaiah tells us my people destroy the lack of knowledge. But see, we're going to get some knowledge because we're getting the knowledge from him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. He didn't call us by Joe's goodness or Joe's glory. He didn't call us by Trump's goodness or Trump's glory. He called us by his own glory. That should be shouting ground in itself. Then the next step, we must arm ourselves with the same mind of Christ. I love armor. I'm a soldier at heart. Always will be a soldier. So I love when I put on my armor when it's time to roll out, because I knew I was protected. But especially if my head was covered. My head was protected with my helmet, see? So the word tells us that we have put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith. We're ready to rock and roll. And then 1 Peter 4:1 said, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in his flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. See, we have to strive towards the mark of perfection. We have to daily put our body under subjection. We have to daily pray, because this is how we go about having the mind of Christ. Well, I know this because Jesus prayed every day. And step 5, we must ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. One of the things in the dream that Solomon had is that he wanted knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He didn't ask to be right. He didn't ask to be rich. He didn't ask to be famous. He didn't ask to be good looking. He asked none of that. He asked for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And back again, and all things can understand. See, Ephesians 1:17 says, ask God, the glorious Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in the knowledge of God, that you might grow. That is the objective. Any person ain't growing is dying. So we need to make sure that we grow in the knowledge of God. How do you do that? You got to study. You got to invest. You got to engage. I was talking to a friend, and they said that they were a thinker. And they were talking to another friend and said, well, I'm a thinker too. And then they said, yeah, we all are thinkers, but some think deep. See, everybody can jump into the pool, but there's some people in the shallow water, and there's some of us in the deep water. When you get into the deep water, you're getting the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Then step 6 is, God didn't give us a whole lot of people walking around here shaking like Don Knox. Shaking like Don Knox, just shaking his gun in the wet. But Paul told Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. We going to get that mind right. We going to do it. And we got the spirit that is not of fear, but of faith. But of faith. I like the acronym. That the spirit gave me full assurance in the heaven. Jesus understood that all his power, all he needed came from the heavens. We have to walk in this kind of mentality, this mindset. It's a mindset, people. This is what we have to do, and we have to do it every day. Because, see, Satan's a busy, busy character. He's doing his job. You can count on that. He's going to do it till Jesus wipes him out. But we got to do our job. And, again, I like to give people some wiggling room. I got a little wiggling room for myself, and my brother used to do this thing called the wiggle. You know, I like a little wiggling room myself. I like to say that we need to be patient with ourselves. This takes time to develop. The person that I was when I was 15 wasn't the person I was at 25. And the person I was at 25 is not the person I was at 40. And the person I was at 40 is not the person I am at 62. It takes time to evolve. You see, Moses was with Pharaoh for 40 years. Whole different man. Then he was in the wilderness and with the other families for another 40 years before God began to use him. Abraham was up in season 90 before God began to use him. He was preparing him. And that is my daily prayer now, Lord, prepare me for my assignment. And now, Lord, what they say is better be prepared for an opportunity than I have when I have an opportunity and not be prepared. We need to be prepared, people. And the step 7 is we must live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. If we follow the Spirit to lead us in every area of our lives, I think back over my life and all I made bad decisions. I'm not one that's too keen on talk about mistakes. I always say mistake is walking in the dark, fall of an acorn. You didn't know it's going to happen as a mistake. But most of the time we make these decisions. Now, we might want to pass it on. You know, we do the blaming game like Eve did, Adam did, and everybody blaming everybody. But when we take responsibility, because we're going to be held accountable responsible, because no matter what happens, when you stand before God, you can't blame nobody, because he already know what went on before you did it, when you're going to do it, how you did it, why you did it. But at the end of the day, you made a decision. So therefore, we should be willing to be responsible to make a decision. As I said earlier, we're free spirits, we're free agents, but we should be willing to be led by the Spirit. Why? I know this because Jesus was led by the Spirit. And in step eight, we must be put our confidence in God. See, too long, we like to go on our own. We like to be, my son ready to step out again, and he gave his test, and he said, Dad, I want to be like you. I mean, you left home at 16 and a half, and you've been on your own ever since. I want you to help me, and I'm going to be independent. I said, well, son, I ain't mad at it. Be independent. But I tell you, you can't live in the world alone. See, God said earlier that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Be as independent as you can, but realize you at some point must depend on God. I would tell you to depend on God all the time, but I know you have to evolve. So take it under advisement. As the judge told me, he said, I take it under advisement. That's what I tell my son now. Take it under advisement. But we can't live in the world alone. We are interdependent beings. You're going to depend on somebody. But if you start with your dependency on God, you have your confidence in it on God, I like to say now that I don't have any expectation of human beings, but I have all expectation in God that he will work through the human beings to meet the expectation for the plan he has for my life. Hallelujah. He says, but let me give you the Amplified Bible Classic Edition of the same scripture of Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient, Christ-sufficient. Ooh, I like that. Let's say that one more time. I have strength for all things in Christ. So I have, it empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. As Christ said, I in him and thou in me, as thou may be perfect, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them as he have loved me, infusing that strength in us. And then we go to number nine. Must continue to fight the good fight of faith. You know, staying in a fight, I attempted to box, and I was cool with it as long as I wasn't getting knocked out. But when this guy dropped me and I woke up and said, what happened? I said, oh, this ain't for me. Oh, no, no, no. And you know, I really didn't want a broke nose, so I was like, no, I ain't going to be able to. In this situation, we got to be willing to take the blows, the punches, the whips, the waves, the challenges, the hustle, the bustle, everything we need to take, because when Jesus took on the fight, he finished it to the end. He went all the rounds. He took all the pain. And any time that we begin to think just on our self-centered, self-righteous, self-indulgent viewpoint, we need to think about the cross and what Jesus went through. Sometimes when I look at certain movies and I see what they've done to him, I can't even imagine that anyone could take such brutality. Just take it and take it for something he didn't even do. Yet he took it because he loved you and me. In 1 Timothy 6:12 say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many. 10. We must stay in the race until completion. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. There's so many things. We were discussing about favor and favoritism. And one of the members said, I didn't know favoritism was a sin. They kind of thought about it, but didn't put much credence to it. But when it was broken down and it really centered around what love was not, because favoritism is also based on being proud. Favoritism is also based on self-seeking. So they recognize this, but we have so many sins to battle against, some knowing and some unknowing. But we have to, if you will, stick to the word and stay in the word right to the end, because, see, sin always tries to tangle us. And it's hard sometimes to stay in the fight. If you got an enemy like Satan, who's going to do the number like Mike Tyson did to Holyfield, he biting off your ear, you might want to get out the ring. But we got to stick and stay, because Jesus out everything he needs to do in the race for us. So if we got the mindset of Christ, we go stay in the race. And he said, let's run with perseverance, endurance. So for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's how you're going to finish the race. When you keep your mind on him, he gives you that perfect peace because you trust him. You trust God. So you see, the part and the perfecter of our faith, from the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned the shame, and sat down at the throne of God. In the end. Philippians 3:14 said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So wrapping this up, it's essential that we must recognize that we must know that we are children of God. We must acknowledge that we are God's temple. We must accept that God has given us divine power. We must arm ourselves with the same mind of Christ. We must ask God for spiritual wisdom and revelation. We must acknowledge that God can give us the spirit of fear. We must live by the Spirit. We must put our confidence in God. We must continue to fight the good fight, and we must stay in the race to completion. So in conclusion, God tells us as we stay in this fight, he said, we follow these steps and line ourselves with God's word. We'll see a spiritual revival. Now, according to the King James Dictionary, they say to discover, to make known something before unknown, reveal secret. And Colossians 1:26 says that this, the mysteries which has been hidden from the past age and generation, but has now been manifested to his saints. We get to get the secrets of God. Once these seeds have been planted on the good soil, we will see the words in Matthew says, but the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and the understanding of it. He produces a crop that yields 160 or 30 times what he sowed. Therefore, moving forward, let us not become the women and men who hears and understands God's word, that we may be transformed to God intended us to be through his promise in Christ Jesus. So I hope that this brought some insight through the Holy Spirit to help you to begin to walk out your salvation, walk through your journey with the confidence that God will never leave you or forsake you. God, through his promises, and that is way more than I can write, will help you to become who you need to be. So let me share the soldier's perspective, becoming. My father used to say to me, sometimes people come into your lifetime, a season, and a reason. Well, we get some kind of vibe that they were meant to be there, to serve some purpose, teach us a lesson, or to help us figure out who we are to be and who we are to become. We never know these people who they may be. Or the role they may play in our lives. Possibly they can be our neighbor, our co-worker, our friend, our lover, or even a complete stranger. But when our eyes connect with them, you know that in that very moment that they're going to have a significant impact on your life forever. And sometimes things happen to us that may seem terrible, painful, unjust at first. But in reflection, we discover that without overcoming these obstacles, we may never realize the true potential and strength and willpower and the heart of resilience that we possess. We always heard everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens by chance or by mere luck. illness, injury, love, lost moments of true greatness and sheer stupidity, it all occurs to test the limits of our soul, mind, will, and emotion. Without these tests, whatever they may be, life would be like a smooth, paved, straight road to nowhere. It would be safe and comfortable, but dull and utterly pointless. And I know you might would say, well, who wouldn't want that? But for the most part, I would agree. But since the fall of man has occurred, contrast of life has occurred. It is what we know, and I believe all that I mentioned above shows us how we make sense of things in order to survive. Therefore, people we meet who affect our lives, successes, and the downfalls with each experience helps to create who we are to become. Even the bad experiences can we learn from. In fact, they are some of the most moving and important ones that help us to go forward. For in the moment when someone hurts you, betray you, break your heart, these are all times when we forgive them, they help us learn about trust and the importance of the decision we make for the future. Life is a merry-go-round, lessons, folks. That always comes back around to see if we have learned from the experience. I will tell you, you can either take these experiences and make them life lessons, or you can make them a life sentence. It's pretty yours. So I want to close out with the most important thing of all this. As I said, I come to share the knowledge and wisdom as the information that God gives impart on my heart to share with you because we're students. We should all stay teachable. If you're not teachable, you're not usable. If you're not usable, you know, you're like that wheat that just throw you into the furnace. See, we're all here to be used, but not to be misused. So it's important that we recognize the only way we're truly going to be able to grow and gain God's knowledge, as he said, we have to become spirit. We have to operate out of spirit. But you can't do that if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You will operate by the old man. You will operate by the old mindset. But once you become born again, spirit filled, you have the mind of Christ flowing through you, you have the Holy Spirit flowing through you, you are ready to take off the promises of God and move to fulfill your destiny. And you can begin to prepare for your assignment because we all got one. But if you don't know grace, I would ask that you would declare after Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and thou can be saved. Therefore, I would ask you, Father, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I know, Father God, he died, he was born, he lived, he died, and he rose again, Father God, for me. So therefore, look to say to I renounce my past life with Satan, and I close the door to any of his devices. Thank you for forgiving me and all my sins, and that Jesus is Lord, and I am a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things become new in Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the key thing to do. All the preaching, all the teaching comes down to one thing, the acceptance of our personal Lord Jesus Christ. And then begin your journey of development. As Maynard G. Crabb say, you got a foundation, you got the planning, you got the construction and the destruction through trial and error to become who you need to be. Ask God to help you to become the best he intended you to be. Now, I'd like to close out with, if you want more knowledge to grow from, and we all, the best thing I would always recommend to all of us, we stay in student mode. Stay teachable. And we can give you some of that knowledge. Through Kingdom Builder Development Institute, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And truly, we would suggest if it's upon your heart to give, then here's a website you can go to, www.givelify.com. As many used to say, you'd be glad you did, because this is all about development. This is all about us becoming the best we can be. We're just exchanging knowledge and wisdom as God gives us. so that we can grow and we can do more. Because we want to make sure that we follow God's will, not our own. I thank you for listening. I will always be praying for you. You pray for me. And you know that God is going to set us free. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
And dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up, I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can say